You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It is Election Day across America, and while there are no statewide contests here in Wisconsin, the effects of what happens elsewhere will almost certainly shape what happens in the Badger State in 2026. We'll talk live with Wisconsin Watch political reporter, Brittany Carloni, about what lies ahead as Wisconsin decides. Constitutional crisis? Late this morning, President Trump announced via his social media platform he intends to defy court orders, saying his administration is required to pay SNAP benefits to millions of Americans, including some 700,000 Wisconsin residents. And here to break it all down, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and attorney Matt Flynn, and the man regarded as the most influential vice president in history with ties to Wisconsin, Dick Cheney, has died. He was 84. All that, your calls, and what's worse, a special edition of the Todd Allball Show starts right now.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbar along with Mr. Aaron Zummers, our producer and engineer. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison. Sky is partly sunny, a few clouds here and there, a beautiful autumn day. Enjoy it today and tomorrow as forecast. Going to get chilly, maybe some snow in parts of Wisconsin, at least light snow by the weekend. Big show, as our open indicated, lots going on news-wise. Aaron Zomers, good to have you along. And a quick programming note for our listening audience. We're experiencing some internet difficulties here at Civic Media. There may be other wider internet outages going on right now. We're working on that. I can tell you, I just checked on the old free, listen to this, I can listen to myself on the Civic Media app. I just dialed it up on my phone. So if you're not hearing this across the air, download the Civic Media app for free. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal. You can listen to us on the Civic Media app. First station on the app, WAUK and WMDX, that is working right now. So if you're not getting this other usual places, check out the Civic Media app. Zomers, our great engineering team is on top of it.
That they are.
Very good. Let's get right into the show. Joining us via StreamYard, at least audio-wise, because due to those technical difficulties, not able to get the video. But that's okay, as long as we can hear him. That is the best way to go. We're going to get to Matt Flynn in just a minute. But the breaking news late this morning, this according to MidasTouchNews.com, has also been confirmed. Other news sources, CBS, NBC, CNN, Associated Press, and others. In a stunning escalation of the standoff over federal food aid, President Donald Trump announced that he will refuse to comply with a federal court order requiring his administration to release emergency funds for the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, otherwise known as SNAP, potentially cutting off all food benefits to millions of Americans. The defiance follows a ruling from U.S. District Judge John McConnell of Rhode Island, who last week ordered the Trump administration to unlock billions in emergency USDA funds to keep SNAP operational amid the ongoing government shutdown. The judge's decision was hailed as a lifeline for 1 in 8 Americans who rely on the program, but the White House's latest reversal now threatens to plunge those families back into crisis. Here to break it all down is the late, great Judge Weissman was fond of saying, to put it down there where the chickens could get at it, our friend and ongoing contributor, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and author, Matt Flynn. Matt, thanks for joining us on short notice on a busy news day.
Great to be with you, Todd, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot to talk about, and this thing this morning is beyond belief, the defiance of a court order.
I really appreciate you coming on because, look, you and I are, you know, we like to have animated, I'll say that, partisan political debates. They're not so much between you and I, but just we like to hear ourselves talk when we get together. And there's a lot of fun to that. Nothing wrong with that. But this is pretty serious stuff, Matt. And I guess your initial reaction as an attorney, I'm going to start right off. Is it too soon to say, or are we about to be in potentially a constitutional crisis?
I think we are getting into it. And you might define a constitutional crisis as ultimately if he defies a U.S. Supreme Court order. But defying any federal court order is a constitutional crisis. And as I talked to you a little while ago, the way to handle this, but then I'm going to lay out quickly what the impediment is very, very hard to hold the president in contempt for a couple of reasons. He's the head guy. The Supreme Court has said that he has immunity and so forth. But what a court can do is hold a subordinate person in contempt, for instance, the Secretary of Agriculture. So one remedy I think that they should do is grab her into court, order her to pay. If she won't do it, for whatever reason, put her in jail. Put her in jail for contempt. One night in a woman's prison, I think, will change her attitude. One problem with that that everybody should keep in mind is that Donald Trump, quite frankly, is an enemy of the country. What he will do, he's pardoned people who are criminals. What if he pardons her and sets her free? Then you're going to have a clash between the police and ICE agents and FBI. And what he has done is he's corrupted the FBI, he's corrupted the CIA, corrupted Homeland Security. And basically, if he controls force, he can do what he wants. That's the constitutional crisis.
I'm going to read folks that might not have seen it. We're talking with Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party, also an attorney, who is our ongoing contributor here on the show. And I'm going to skip over the partisan just hyperbole stuff where he attacks Joe Biden and things like that. This is from Donald Trump. He calls it his Truth Social platform, his own social media platform. Here's the main line of what we're talking about today. And it says, due to the fact that they were haphazardly handed to anyone, the SNAP benefits, as opposed to asking for those in need, which is supposed to be the purpose of SNAP, it will only be given when the radical left Democrats open up government, which they can easily do and not before. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump, unquote. That is a direct quote from President Trump. So I want to be careful, Matt, on my part. Because, look, it can be fun to dive into this from a partisan political standpoint and score political points, right, as a person who comes on and you know, you're trying to get ratings, right, trying to get people to listen. But I want to be really careful on my part that we're not – that I'm not just kind of diving into this for political purposes. Is there a difference, Matt Flynn, from a legal perspective of Donald Trump putting a Truth Social post out saying this is not going to happen and then his administration – actually not doing it? Are those two different things from a legal perspective?
Yeah, there is. And frequently, Todd, what he will do is he'll just say something that's false and he is a threat. For instance, the 10% tariffs on Canada haven't been put into effect yet. Mm-hmm. So he's very capable of shooting his mouth off. However, in this case, it would be contempt of court if he did that. And Rollins, the agriculture secretary, should be the one the court puts in jail. Having said all of that, he frequently backs down. He frequently backs down. And when the people in Wall Street and the people in the tech industry say, what the hell you're doing, he is capable of influence. So I don't take at face value anything he says. But when he's the president, you've got to take it seriously, at least.
Right.
And in this case, what he said is, I will not let any SNAP benefits go out. And he said that. And so we take it for what he's going to do until we see differently.
You brought up Agricultural Secretary Brooke Rollins. According to CBS News, she said this morning on X, formerly Twitter, that her agency sent that guidance to states this morning, but warned the guidance from the courts from yesterday saying they had to pay this out, but then warned that it would be, quote, a cumbersome process, unquote, that could result in a weeks-long delay in food stamp payments going out to recipients. Quote from Rollins, if the government opens, families get their full benefits much more quickly, unquote. CBS News has asked the White House for clarification about what the president's post means for the contingency funds, and as of about a half an hour ago, the White House had not yet responded. So again, Matt, to me as a non-attorney, just someone out there, you know, looking out for Wisconsinites, it seems to be just more political partisanship here on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, I have conversations with friends, Matt. You and I have talked offline about, you know, should I come on this show and quote unquote call it? Like you're watching a football game and you're in the, you know, middle of the third quarter, fourth quarter, and you're like, we're down by two touchdowns. I'm calling it. This game's over. You know, I have not come on the airwaves and quote unquote called it for democracy because by and large, the courts have held and the Trump administration, by and large, not fully, has acquiesced. But this seems to be a crack in the armor, if you will, to that, where he's openly now and defiantly saying, at least, he plans to defy a court order.
Right. Well, he's also said that he is now the Speaker of the House. He's defied Congress. And they're chicken. They're not going to go up against him because they're afraid of primaries and death threats. Hmm. So what you have left is the court. Now, the six tarantulas, was what I call them on the Supreme Court, what will they do? I do not think that they can, in good faith, say that he does not have to obey a court order. So what is he really saying? Is this more engendering doubt? In other words, Rollins says it's going to take weeks and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, yeah, we won't do it. And they dribble out, dribble out, dribble out. The judge is going to have to say, I want Rollins in here every day. Every day at 10 in the morning. And tell me what she's done, because you can't say I'm going to obey a court order and not do it in a sneaky way. In other words, just say, well, there are impediments and all that.
Right.
And at some point, you have to put her in jail.
And we've seen that in Chicago, have we not, Matt Flynn, where this judge in Chicago has ordered in the regional head of ICE because he's defying her orders.
Well, that's right. And then the Seventh Circuit quashed that part of the opinion, saying he didn't have to go in every day. But the more people that impose injunctions on Trump and he tells them, well, you know, it's going to be hard and this and that, at some point, sneakiness can be enjoined. Sneakiness can be punished with jail.
Great article that came out in the Isthmus here in Madison. It's a paper publication, can also be found online. Great reporter, I'm sure you know him, Matt, Steve Walters, formerly of the Journal Sentinel, then Wisconsin Eye, and now also writes for the Isthmus, has a great article entitled Statistics Show Reliance of Wisconsin Residents on Food Stamps and Obamacare. And I want to come back and talk with you about this, because I think a lot of people believe my former party, which I left in 2011, the Republican narrative, that, oh, you know, you've only got the quote-unquote lazy people on these programs. But according to Walter's reporting, one in nine Wisconsin residents rely on food stamps to feed their families, officially called Food Share Program. It provided $115 million in Wisconsin benefits in September. One in 20 Wisconsin residents are enrolled in Obamacare. And yes, that's the same thing as the Affordable Care Act. So what does this these gamesmanship in Washington, what does that really mean for us here in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it and ask our colleague and our friend here on this show, Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and attorney, also happens to be a Navy vet and an author. Matt Flynn and Todd on the other side on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you hear a little Johnny Cash, and particularly that song, you know that Matt Flynn can't be far behind. He's a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and an author. He joins us via StreamYard from his home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Matt, I got this text from my former boss, Dale Schultz, who's trying to listen in. He says, quote, "Your radio show is all screwed up," unquote, which there, I mean, a lot of people would say that. For those trying to listen over the air, we understand there's been some major, we don't know whether it's internet snafus or what. Our engineering department is working on it. So if you're trying to listen over the air, we know things are all screwed up. Yes, Dale, we know, but thank you for the text. Download the Civic Media app. Check us out on the Civic Media app. Because go to the MDX AUK, the first 10 stations. Last I checked about 5 minutes ago, it was still coming across the Civic Media app. So apologize for the technical difficulties, as they say. But Matt, you're a professional. We're going to press on here talking about this announcement from President Trump a little while ago on his social media platform, saying that he intends to defy the court order saying that his administration must pay out SNAP benefits even while the federal government remains shut down, and now the longest governmental shutdown in the nation's history, surpassing Trump's own record. And Steve Walter says this great article on Isthmus, where he points out that the way this affects us here in Wisconsin, that 1 in 9 Wisconsin residents rely on food stamps or SNAP benefits, and 1 in 20 are enrolled in Obamacare. And just another reminder, only U.S. citizens and legal immigrants can qualify for food stamps. Matt, this political partisanship, this gamesmanship in D.C. has some very real effects on those of us here in Wisconsin.
You know, it really does. And one possible and simple solution is that the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate get together and agree on a budget that includes the subsidies for Obamacare, includes food stamps, and passes it. Trump would veto it, and 67 senators can overrule it. But it's important to point out that the Republican Congress is as complicit as Trump in all this. Mm-hmm. They're as complicit as Trump. If Obamacare goes away because the premiums get to, you know, $40,000 a year or something, let me give you an example. Greene County, I'd say most of the old age homes there, their people aren't going to be able to afford them. They have to go back in, move in with their kids. I mean, this is going to have a real impact on a lot of folks, including Republicans.
I couldn't agree more. And Steve Walters in the Isthmus points this out. According to the nonpartisan Wisconsin Fiscal Bureau, they said in a report that a single person with an annual income in Wisconsin of $37,650, annual income, paid $125 per month for a second-level silver plan for the ACA or Obamacare. But Insurance Commissioner of Wisconsin Nathan Hudick gave the example of how Obamacare premiums would increase if Congress doesn't extend these tax credits. That same 26-year-old making just over $37,000, paying $125 a month, Matt Flynn, that would increase by $1,437 more a year in Milwaukee County and more than $1,500 in Dane County. And for a lot of young people, that they're going to have to decide between health care and food, are they not?
Yeah, they couldn't afford it. And there are some that have gone up to, for a family in some areas, $40,000 a year. They can't, for the premiums,
right?
They can't afford it. And the real fear is that Trump frequently will impound money that Congress told him to spend. And so one of the problems is he could say, I'm going to pay SNAP benefits and I'm going to pay this, and then not do it.
Right.
And then he sits back and he is contemptuous.
A speed round here, Matt, about 2.5 minutes left. Number one, when should we, the non-attorney public without law degrees, what action is going to happen or potentially happen in which we say, holy crap, this is a real constitutional crisis when it comes to Trump not obeying the courts?
I think that I would say that we're at that position now. The one saving grace is the Supreme Court hasn't backed him up. Getting to the Supreme Court takes a little time. But I think that right now, If I were the federal judge here, I would hold the agriculture secretary in contempt, order her into court, and put her in jail for contempt. If Trump pardons her, that's got to go up to the Supreme Court. The problem is Pam Bondi won't take it to the Supreme Court because she's for Trump. That means that there's going to have to be an extrajudicial, it's going to have to be the federal court itself, in a very, very unusual action, puts special counsel in and sends it up to the Supreme Court.
Matt Flynn, a minute and a half left. Former Vice President Dick Cheney with ties to Wisconsin. Complex character in some ways, certainly arguably one of the most, if not the most, influential vice president in our nation's history. Passes away today at the age of 84. Thoughts?
I'll simply say this. You never speak ill of the dead, so I'm going to say something nice about him. He stood by his daughter, Liz Cheney, who is a hero, stood up for democracy. He went on the floor of the House with her to give her support, and I liked that. And the second thing, as bad as he was, especially fomenting the Iraq war, the fact is that no one back then thought that he was for the Russians. No one back then thought that he was, this is a basic thing. He was for NATO. He was for Ukraine. So in retrospect, he looks good, even though, quite frankly, what he did with the Iraq war is terrible.
Yeah. And at the last, one of the last things he did politically was endorse Kamala Harris for president and called Trump the single greatest danger to the United States of America. Not saying it absolves him, but I mean, you know, I guess people at the end change. I don't know.
It's penance. He did penance.
He did penance while still living. Well, Matt Flynn, I appreciate you taking the time. You always make the complicated seem understandable from the legal standpoint. I appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party and an attorney. Always a pleasure to have him. Stay tuned. We'll talk Wisconsin Decides, five things to watch with Wisconsin Watch. Stay with us. Farm News is next right now with Pam Yonke on the Civic Media Radio. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad, or 2 o'clock. believe me, the first half hour felt like an hour. Welcome back to the show on a Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. Zommer's on the board. Play a little Bruce Springsteen there in honor of off the playlist here of our next guest. She is the political reporter at Wisconsin Watch. You can read all of her reporting at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Brittany Carlone joins us here in the studio. We love it when that happens. Brittany, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Excited to be back.
Now, you went to the Bruce Springsteen biopic here recently, isn't it?
Yeah, I went with my mom and my sister and my brother and my sister-in-law, and we all really, really liked it. Right. My mom, big Bruce Springsteen fan. If you're listening, Mom, hi.
I'm a big Bruce. Years and years ago, before Phi at the Bradley Center, I went and saw Bruce Springsteen with my dad.
Did you go at the Bradley Center in the 2010s? Yeah. So I went with my mom and my sister.
Get out.
We might have been in the same place.
Probably were.
Didn't even realize
that. That was a great concert.
It was such
like
a good
3
concert.
Hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, you didn't come talk about music, but that's fine. That's fine. Give us a little breaking news, Brittany, because we've talked to this program, not necessarily with you, but with other folks in this program about Department of Public Instruction Superintendent Jill Underley, who skipped out on a Wisconsin Assembly Committee hearing about a week ago so she could go to Indianapolis or Indiana. Rather, to accept a alumni award.
Yeah.
And they had another hearing today, and by golly, it sounds like she showed up.
So, yeah, before the Senate committee, there were Dr. Underley and the Department of Public Instruction, they had a press conference this morning. But yes, she is sitting before the, I believe it's the Senate Committee on Education, and she's been taking questions from senators since probably about 1 o'clock.
All right.
Well, so she is there.
I know you're a straight line reporter, but as an opinion person, I will give her credit because I've been pretty hard on her for not appearing before elected officials as the elected head of that agency. So props to Dr. Underley for showing up today. Be interested to see what comes of that and what her answers are to those questions. You are coming today to talk about this great new article, important article at wisconsinwatch.org. Entitled Five Things to Watch Over the Next Year as Wisconsin's Election Cycle Begins. Now, today is election day for many places, like the mayor of New York City, the governorship of New Jersey, of Virginia, and of course the big Prop 50 bill, or not a bill, I guess, but proposition. We
in
don't
California.
Have those in Wisconsin, but out in California. But no big statewide races today. If people are listening, they don't have to worry.
Yeah,
they
don't worry
miss
about
anything.
Going to the polls. not today. There's the calendar needs to hit 2026 for Wisconsinites to get out to the polls.
And that's what your entire article here is about. And it's not going to be long. I bet you another week or so. Mm-hmm. And the first race in your article here, there's yet another race for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
I know. Obviously, the Supreme Court race earlier this year really grabbed a lot of headlines in the state, of course, and even across the country. But there's another Supreme Court race literally around the corner. It's looking like that race will probably be Maria Lazar of Waukesha, former Waukesha County Circuit Court judge, and between her and Chris Taylor, who I believe a former Dane County Circuit Court judge, they're both on the Court of Appeals, but they're very much political opposites. That race would be in April. There's going to be a lot I'm hoping to write about that, even though it's not likely going to be a race where we're going to see the spending numbers that we saw earlier this year.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. And some of the folks that I talk to say, especially because that race is not for a majority on the court at this point, it's kind of a sense of does the progressive side expand the wing of that court, or do the conservatives kind of come back a little bit there? But that's a race that I think is probably not going to draw as much attention necessarily, even though Supreme Court races are very important in this state.
And the vacancy has occurred because Rebecca Bradley, this is my opinion, not yours, I call her the bad Bradley. I got that. Because we had Ann Walsh Bradley from my hometown, Richland Center, and we had Rebecca Bradley, so there's the good and the bad. I got that from my friend Matt Flynn. But Rebecca Bradley decided not to seek re-election, so it's an open seat. But to your point, even if Lazar would win the conservative candidate, it would be still 5-4 liberal. On the court.
Exactly.
So you think that will tamp down the spending?
That's what I'm hearing from folks that I've been talking to, where the last couple of years, that really big draw of trying to gain a majority for either side of the court, that's something where people wanted to spend money, whether it's Elon Musk or other types of people. They wanted to spend money to make sure that a certain side would be victorious. And in the last couple of years, it's been the more progressive candidates.
I happened to hear Judge Lazar on another program today, and for my money, I think she's going to be the toughest candidate for conservatives in a long time. I mean, they've been putting up people like Gableman, who's straight out. You're too young, but I mean, straight out of the Three Stooges. I mean, all he's doing is, look at the gross. I mean, that's the only thing that Gableman's missing. Mm-hmm. But to me, Lazar, she seems like a legit candidate, and I think it's going to give conservatives a real chance to pick up the seat. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just saying I don't think this is going to be one of these races where the liberal is the clear favorite.
Yeah, I think this will be interesting, especially because she's really put on her campaign website, Judge Lazar, she's indicated and really pushed very hard the messaging of I am a judge. I don't lean toward either party. And that could be something where Chris Taylor, with the experience in the legislature, that could end up being, I can see that being a big messaging point from her campaign.
Agreed. I think they've got the messaging down better than previous, more recent conservative candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. We're talking with Brittany Carlone, who is the political reporter at Wisconsin Watch. You can find her new article, which is outlining these important races and five things we need to watch going into 2026. All right, Brittany, next up is, will Democrats flip the Senate? Will Republicans maintain the assembly majority?
Yeah, everything that I've been hearing since I started this job back in September, people are really, really focused in on whether Democrats will win that Senate majority. And I think if you look back to 2024, which seems very long ago, but if you look back to 2024 elections, Democrats in both the assembly and in the Senate made gains in both chambers, and specifically Senate Democrats really see the seats that they were able to gain last year as a way for them to really compete for that majority. And I think that would be a big deal, because I think I indicated, looking back at all the good blue book lists, the Republicans have controlled both chambers since 2011. Yeah. And so for that to change up, I think would, I'm not sure what that would do, but I think it would change some things in the building, right. I think north of us. Is that where it is?
Yeah, absolutely. You write your article here at Wisconsin Watch. The Senate Democratic Campaign Committee is eyeing three districts currently held by Republicans in portions of the state where they have these new legislative maps that are being tested for the first time. It includes the fifth district held by Senator Rob Hutton, Republican of Brookfield, the 17th district held by State Senator Howard Markline, Republican of Spring Green, and the 21st district held by State Senator Van Wongard, Republican of Racine. And then Democrats running those districts include Representative Robin Vining of the 5th, Representative John Jacobson in the 17th, and Racine Transit and Mobility Director Trevor Jung in the 21st.
Mm-hmm. I'm especially interested in those southeastern Wisconsin seats, especially because some of those suburban communities over the years have gone further. And when I was growing up, they were deep, deep red. And as the years have gone by, and I think more people have moved into those areas, they're not quite what they were when I was a kid, right. and those elections were very, very solid for Republicans.
And State Senator Van Wongard, there's a guy, he was beaten once, and then he came back to the state Senate. Mm-hmm. So, he's been down that road before. The 17th in southwest Wisconsin, where I'm obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but for those listeners, that's where I grew up, and worked for former State Senator Dale Schultz. That was his district. That's really changed to pick up from the Mississippi River now all the way into portions of Dane County. Mm-hmm. So that certainly has become more blue. Howard is going to have to, he does not currently live in the district that he represents, and he would have to move if he won.
Yeah. But I have heard, Senator Markline, I've heard from people that he really works his butt off when it comes to campaigning. And so we'll have to see. Who's to say?
He goes around and has listening sessions, but doesn't take any questions.
Well, that's good to know.
I've seen it in person, so yeah. I can give you reporting. on first-hand reporting. All right, and let's get into the governor's race. We got time here. Who will be the gubernatorial nominees? I ask you, Brittany Carloni.
Wow. I wish I had a crystal ball to tell you, but I think at this point, if you look at the Marquette University Law School poll from last week, I think there are a lot of people that are really undecided. They're either undecided or they don't know enough, like, this far in advance. And so I think on the Republican side, it's kind of a question right now whether Josh Omen stays in terribly long. And I think I spoke to somebody last week who mentioned that, especially for Tom Tiffany, with the fact that he has a congressional district that includes 700,000 plus people, that already gives him a base that is hard for somebody else to compete with. So I think it's very likely that Tom Tiffany is the front runner on the Republican side at this point. For the Democrats, that is a very large field. There's a lot of time until primaries in August. And there are those outstanding question marks, like if Mandela Barnes jumps in.
Right. You write your article in Wisconsin Watch. You talked to former Tommy Thompson, Department of Commerce Secretary Bill McCoshin, who's also a Republican operative of this state. And he put this quote in from McCoshin. Quote, Republicans did a lot of damage to themselves in the 2022 primary and weren't able to put the whole House back together in time for the general, McCoshin said. There are a lot of Republicans who sadly did not vote for the 2022 Republican gubernatorial nominee Tim Michaels, and we can't have a repeat of that. So to your point, it sounds like the Republicans are really trying to get their ducks in a row, so to speak, and have this thing sewn up in terms of the nomination before the first of the year.
I mean, that could be something that really benefits Republicans if they do that, because then Democrats leading up to the August primary are all trying to push each other out of the way to see who gets that nomination.
Yeah. On the Democratic side, you're right. It's a huge field. You write your article at Wisconsin Watch, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Madison State Rep Francesca Hong, former WEDIC leader Missy Hughes, former Madison State Rep Brett Halsey, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and Madison State Senator Keller Royce, and beer vendor Ryan Sternad, are all in. Based on money, what we saw from campaign reports, it would appear that Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is the clear favorite there in terms of just money right now.
Yeah. I think I remember reading somewhere that the lieutenant, like National Lieutenant Governor's Organization, has given her
like $2 million.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in a field like that, money to get your name out there and let people know who you are, like that matters. That really does matter.
Don't hold me to it. I think our own political reporter Dan Schaefer said that I think Tony Evers won the 2018 Democratic gubernatorial race with a huge field as well for like 600,000 or 800,000 total. I mean, that's
could be different.
Money, as they say, the mother's milk of all politics. We'll come back and talk more with a political reporter at Wisconsin Watch, Brittany Carlone. After this, you're listening to the Todd Hall Show across the state of Wisconsin on a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, the haunting sounds of Bruce Springsteen from his Nebraska album. Our guest currently here at the table, here at the studios, Brittany Carlone, political reporter for Wisconsin Watch, just saw the Bruce Springsteen biopics. That's why we let our guest pick the music when we can, and that's off of the album Nebraska that film was based on, correct?
Yeah. Jeremy Allen White, the actor who plays Bruce Springsteen, I think he does a really good job. He seems to do really well in dark movies and TV shows like The Bear. He's always very depressed in The Bear.
Not unlike Todd when I talk about Wisconsin politics a lot. Maybe I should channel The Bear more often.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, Brittany is here to talk Wisconsin politics. We appreciate that. By the way, Ross, listening in Crawford County on WRCO, says, do you know the sound coming out of the station is distorted?
Oh.
Yes, thank you, Ross. We appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, I apologize for the show today in terms of the sound. Lots of technical things going on beyond our control. Our great engineering team is working on it. So, as they say, stand by. We are working on it. You can also, I did check the Civic Media app. So, if you don't have it, download it on your Apple or Android device, the Civic Media app. Open it up. The first 10 stations are the ones that we are on. And I believe, at last check, that was working.
Oh, good. Good.
I may at 3 o'clock, I may just call it and I'll go out and watch the Bruce Springsteen. And we'll just, as Amherst, we'll just play the album and that'd be fine. Don't you think?
You know, I think that may be frowned upon.
Maybe. Also, great segues, Amherst, because you're reporting, Brittany, at Wisconsin Watch on the 2026 Wisconsin gubernatorial race. It sounds like there may be some Democrats who are frowning upon another run by the former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in the Democratic primary, but a lot of signals are being sent that he intends to run. What did you learn?
I think if you've seen some of the reporting in recent weeks from, I think it was the New York Times, and even a black paper in Milwaukee, there's been some questions of whether Mandela Barnes can win in another statewide race after losing the Senate. Narrowly losing the Senate campaign in 2022, but I think some recent polling and I think one of his PAC even last week had put out numbers that said that people would support him. And I think if you look at the Marquette poll, the candidates right now don't have a lot of name recognition, so he might have some pull there. It'll have to be something to take a closer look at if he makes any big decisions from between now and the end of the year.
I think the Marquette poll was very revealing on a lot of fronts, which is most Wisconsinites don't give a crap about politics right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things on people's plates in this between now and the end of the year. Right. And the next time they have to think about that, about the governor's race, is really when they start heading to the polls in August.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you got gun deer season coming up, which is essentially a Wisconsin holiday. You got Thanksgiving. You got Hanukkah. You got Christmas. You got Kwanzaa. You got all the things. Mm-hmm. And you got the Packers.
That's the challenge, too, is in the coming months, there are some of these candidates could decide they don't want to do this anymore. Right. I mean, even earlier in September, if you go to early September, Bill Berrien was in the Republican primary, and he's no longer there.
Well, Bill Berrien got caught doing some things that were a little hypocritical. So that, speaking of that, you've got Derek Van Orden, the incumbent in the 3rd Congressional District, the Republican there in western Wisconsin, and you write about the headline, subheadline, will there be a congressional shakeup in the 3rd District?
And I don't know if people know this, you and I probably know this, but before Derek Van Orden won that seat a couple years ago, that was a Democratic congressional seat. And he won re-election in 2024 by, I think, maybe 3 percentage points. So I noticed that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has already earlier this year put that as another targeted potential flip opportunity. And around the country, as redistricting discussions are happening in various states, and there's a big question of who will control the House next year, I think there's going to be a lot of attention on the 3rd District seat.
Also in the 7th Congressional District, you mentioned incumbent Tom Tiffany not going to seek re-election there because, of course, he's running for governor in the Republican primary. Lots of folks getting in on the Republican side, on the Democratic side. A guy that I got to know in my time at the state capitol, former state representative Fred Clark, who's a big conservationist, hunter, and now he's moved up there, subsequently kind of retired, but looks like he's going to run on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, you have at least 3 people. You've got Jesse Eben, Ashland attorney Paul Wasgren, and Michael Alfonso, the son-in-law of U.S. Transportation Secretary and former MTV star Sean Duffy.
Have
you seen the videos from his time at MTV?
I have not.
He is running around in his underpants.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And now he's the Secretary of Transportation.
You can do anything.
So I'm thinking that we may see Michael Alfonso in his underwear.
I don't know what to say to that.
I'm sorry. but in all seriousness, I think he's just playing on his father-in-law's, you know, and probably Trump's going to put the stamp on him and say he's the guy.
I definitely think, and I already saw yesterday, I think Brian Steil already got an endorsement from President Trump for his re-election campaign. I think that does matter a lot to people still, even though on the Republican side, even though President Trump won't be on the ballot next year. And that's that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he plays into that race.
Well, interested in your reporting, Brittany Carloni, and we have less than a minute left here, but I'm hearing that Brian Steil may have more of a problem down there than some people are talking about. That may be a surprise problem for Republicans.
I mean, it's something we'll have to watch, but I think from folks that I've been talking to, most people are looking at what happens in the 3rd District as opposed to his.
Brittany Carloni, political reporter at Wisconsin Watch. You can find all her work at wisconsinwatch.org. I appreciate you being here on this wacky day.
Love a wacky day.
Come on back. We'll try for hour 2 after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.